Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. What do you want to be when you grow up? In our culture, if we ask that question of a child, the child knows that we mean, what do you want to do? What kind of a job do you want to have? A firefighter, a police officer, a doctor, a teacher, a cowboy, a princess. In other words, when we ask, what do you want to be, we're really asking, and even the child knows, what do you want to do to earn a living? What sort of job do you want to have? It's interesting, though, that when we ask about someone's potential job, we ask the question, what do you want to be? That question implies that your job, what you do for a living, defines who you are. So that one day you can say, I am a firefighter, I am a teacher, I am a police officer, I am a doctor, I am a nurse, I am a cowboy, I am a princess. But is that really who you are? Is that really what defines you? When you provide a particular set of services to someone in exchange for money, does that particular work define who you are? Say, this is who I am. Now, it's wonderful to have aspirations and dreams. Dreams of how you can use the talents that God has given you, the interests that God has given you, to serve and love your neighbor and to live in faith toward God. That is a good thing. And it's wonderful that God has given us these differing skills and abilities so that we can serve and love one another on this earth. But we do have to guard against making our work define us. And there are a few problems with that. For example, what happens when you can't do that job anymore? When the skills and abilities you had when you were in the prime of life are not the same as when you get older? What happens when your childhood dream is never realized? You never got to be the cowboy or the princess. If you never got to do that sort of work full time, does that mean you're unfulfilled? You're not really who you wanted to be? But we know as Christians that our works don't save us. What we do doesn't save us. And it's also true, then, if our works do not save us, they also do not make us whole and fulfilled, and they don't define who we are. You are not defined by your job. You are not defined by the work that you do or the work that you used to do. The end-all and be-all of your life isn't a particular way of earning money on this earth or a particular way of serving and loving your neighbor. If we are dependent on our work, on the things that we do to define us, if our identity is caught up in what we do, then we will easily be disappointed. Some days our work won't measure up. It won't seem that we're doing as well as we wanted to or as we used to. But there is a better way. A way to both use the gifts and abilities that God has given us to love and serve our neighbor, but also to live in faith toward God, so that who He is and what He has done for us and who He has made us and who He promises to make us defines our identity. You were made by God, by the triune God whom we celebrate today. The triune God made you, knit you together in your mother's womb. You were made and designed by a God who knows every hair on your head and has a wonderful plan for what He wants you to be. The God who made you still cares for you and wants you to live under Him in His kingdom. He wants you to have a new birth so that you are part of His kingdom and that you become a partaker of the divine nature, so that you come to love as He loves, to forgive as He forgives, to live a life of love. He wants you to be conformed to His image, because you were created to bear His image. That is, to be holy and righteous and without any sin or wrongdoing. When God created man in the garden, We read in Genesis that he made him in his image and likeness. Now, what is that? The image of like and likeness of God is God's holiness and righteousness, his perfection, his perfect love. This is what God made man to be. But when man sinned, he lost the image. And so man, before his new birth, now, man born as a sinful creature with a corrupted human nature does not have the image of God. The image is lost. And it is only through the new birth that God promises to give through Jesus, bestowed in your baptism, the new birth that Jesus speaks about in our gospel reading, that you have this new life, that you become a new person, and that you are defined by our Lord and what he now makes you again to be. He is conforming you to his image. And most of you in this house today have had that new birth. You have been born again of water and the Spirit. The new birth that Jesus talks about in our gospel reading. And so now you have an identity as a child of God. This is who you are. Whatever other jobs you have, whatever other things you do in this world to support your family, to make a living, to serve others in love, to use what God has given you, whatever else you do and however else it might change, whatever other dreams you may have had for what you want to do, you have this one identity, that you are a child of God, who is being now, after your new birth into Christ, who is being conformed to the image of Christ. That the image that was lost at the fall is being restored in you, so that you are being made holy. Yes, you are holy because of the blood of Jesus. You are covered with his blood. And God looks at you and he sees Jesus covering you, so that he sees you as holy, but at the same time that you are holy in God's eyes, you are, by the power of the Holy Spirit, being made holy, being conformed to the righteousness of God, conformed to his image. You don't have to look then, and this is a blessing, you don't have to look to what you have done or what you would like to do or wish you would have done to define yourself. To say, I'm only fulfilled if I can do those things. You look to Jesus and you say, he has done everything for me. He has done what I could not do on the cross. And he has given me the cross in my baptism. And given me that new birth of the Holy Spirit. And that work of God then happened in you when you were brought to a font, perhaps this one, perhaps one like this. And the words were spoken, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and water was poured on your head. God put his name on you and said, now you are part of my family. You have a new identity. Whatever other identities people may put upon you, whoever else someone may say you are, or however else they might define you, you have this identity now. As a child of God, with his name on you, belonging to his family. But let's give an example, then, of how this is lived out in our lives. By looking to the early centuries of the Christian church. At some point in those early centuries, Christians were taught that when they were arrested by the authorities for being Christians, that is, when they were persecuted because Christianity was illegal in the Roman Empire for the more than 250 years, when a Christian was brought before the authorities and they were asked, who are you? They were taught to give the answer, not, I am Paul, or I am Stephen, or I am John, but rather to say, I am Christian. They were, in other words, to identify themselves not by their earthly family or the decision their father and mother made when they gave them their name. not the name recognized by the Roman Empire, but the name Christian. This is my name. Now, this is different from saying, this was different from saying, I am a Christian, as though this just describes me. Like you would say, I am a Roman or I am an American. But rather, I am Christian. That is my name. The fact that I am a Christian, I am a disciple of Jesus, I belong to God's family, I've been adopted into it, and I bear the name of the triune God, this is so closely tied to my identity that when I'm asked to give my name, I simply say, I am Christian. That's who I am. That defines me. So, Christian, every Christian here, every person marked with the name of Christ, what are you now, and what do you want to be when you grow up? You are right now, if you are baptized into the name of the triune God, and if you trust in Him, and have received the forgiveness of Jesus, if you trust in Jesus and His death for your forgiveness, and are not holding on to sin and wanting to continue in sin, then you are a Christian. You are a person marked with the name of the triune God. This is your identity. God looks at you and sees you covered with Jesus. You are born again of water and the Spirit. You are beloved by God. Even if you fail to be that doctor or lawyer or teacher or cowboy or princess, fail to be what you wanted to be or have not been what you wanted to be in that calling. Even if you fail to live as a father or a mother or an employer or employee, you can come and receive forgiveness from Jesus today. And you can know that Jesus here gives Himself to you, that you are a child of God. This is what defines you. No matter what else changes, no matter what else happens, no matter what else you are not able to do in this life. And so that's who you are right now. So what do you want to be when you grow up? In Ephesians 4, we hear from the Apostle Paul these words. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are, even now as Christians, looking forward to being grown up, as we see from that passage. We are to grow up into Christ. And right now, we do not see what we will be. We still have our sins. We still have our struggles with temptations and addictions. We still are not able to control our actions at times. We lose control. We sin, in other words. And we need forgiveness. And we are looking forward to the day that we finally are grown up. Grown up. Not into some ideal that the world sets for us, but grown up into Christ, living together in perfect faith toward God as His body, and living in perfect love and harmony with one another. We're looking forward to that day, and that day is coming when Jesus comes again in glory, and you will be changed. You will be made new. The mortal will be swallowed up with immortality. You will be what you were born again to be. You will have new life in all its perfection. And you will be grown up into Christ. And you will live in perfect faith toward God. And you will live in perfect love toward others. So you look forward, even now, to being grown up into Christ. And being perfectly conformed to the image of God, the image that we were all meant to bear when God created man in the Garden of Eden, to be in His perfect righteousness and holiness. That day is yet to come. But even now, as we serve our neighbor in love, as we use the talents and abilities that God has given us, we say, even now, I am Christian. I am one who bears the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that was put upon me in my baptism. That's why we make the sign of the cross, to remember that this is our identity, that we are beloved children of God, and that in Him we have forgiveness and life and new birth. And we look forward to the day that we see that new birth in all its fullness, and we are fully grown up to be what God made us to be. And in this time, before that day when we're fully grown up, we live in faith and dependence on our Lord, trusting in His promises and serving our neighbors in our callings and vocations in love. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.